Amen. Father God, we thank you so much for being our God. You're so wonderful and loving and caring, and grace is just abounding out of you, and we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for these wonderful revelations you've given us. And we thank you, Father, for the words that you've been giving us. Lord, we thank you for the authority you've given us also. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over this outreach. I bind up any kind of spirits, factious spirits from coming in. I bind up Jezebel. I bind up disinformation. I bind up any kind of interruption whatsoever from the enemy. In the name of Jesus, you will not show yourself in this room in Jesus' name. And we praise you for it, Father, because you've given us the authority to have a good, clean outreach tonight and every night. And Lord, you've given us the authority to bind up the enemy in order to do so. And I praise you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for the love you placed in all of our hearts for each other and the open heaven that you've given us also, Lord. And it's even opening up more and more every day. And I praise you for it, Father. Glory, hallelujah. And I praise you, Lord, for all the revelations and knowledge that's going to come out tonight from everybody. We thank you, Father, that we are led by your spirit and not by self. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you for all the corrections. We thank you for all the love. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you're doing in us to get us ready for this wonderful time ahead. And Lord, we just praise you and glorify you for everything that's accomplished tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. All right. I kind of want to wait till some more people get in here. We generally have somewhere around 30, 35, 40. But I am going to share some things the angels told us in the last few days. And also, we also will want to talk about other things tonight. And let's see. Does anybody have a prayer request? Let's go ahead and get the prayer request over with. And has anybody got a prayer request? I will pray. I will pray. Father, I lift up all my brothers and sisters. I thank you, Lord, for preparing their hearts, their minds. And I thank you, Father, for this wonderful outpouring we're going to have here in a little while. I thank you, Lord, that everybody here is going to be ready to receive the spiritual gifts that you talked about. And I praise you and I glorify you that everybody will want and will be able to receive the giftings that you have for us. That's my heart's cry, Lord, that we'd all be ready. You've given us these 8 days to get ready. Get rid of garbage that's in us. And to praise you and to pray. That's what you told us to do, is praise and to pray. And Father, I just thank you so much for this opportunity to be close to you and to be led by your spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? Well, I'll tell you something. We're in wonderful times, wonderful times. God has opened up and allowed the angels to speak to us. And one of the things I want to start with is what the angel told us the other day, last week, I believe it was. And some of you got this, some of you didn't, because of our e-list has been corrupted. But we're getting it all back in shape now. But he says this, a sacrificial fast beginning on Friday the 12th. That was for the local. This can be for you right now. You can do this, man. I'll comment after I get through reading this. Jeriel, that's the angel that's here in this house, said, I am commanded to pour out anointings upon the saints here. This is why I've appeared to you so often holding the jug of anointing oil. The Son, that's Jesus, desires that you all walk in his anointings, gifts, and in his power. My Lord has told me to tell you all, sacrifice your flesh on the altar this coming week, beginning tomorrow. And on the eighth day, you will meet. This will be a meeting of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs of praise and thanksgiving, and a time of blessing the great God, your Father and King. Do not withhold anything of yourselves and your hearts in worship to him, but with abandonment of self, give all. And I am to be among your praises in worship, pouring out the anointing oil upon your heads. This will bring about a mighty shift in power among you in the spiritual realm. Lord God, you praise God. The sacrifice required for the 7 days and into the eighth include all things fleshly and earthly in nature. Husbands and wives will abstain from all fleshly intimacies. Food and water will be partaken of sparingly. And all devices of man will not be used for entertainment and distractions for your minds. Spend all spare time in prayer, praise, and thanksgiving to your Father and his Son, our great general and your King, your Master and Savior. Glory to God, glory to God. Give of your whole self to the Lord. That's what he's, the old book. Absolute surrender of everything to you. Repent of anything that might be showing up in your life. And guess what'll happen? Oh, my goodness. And it's not too late. Not too late. Now, here's something else I want to relate to you. It's an important thing to understand about the eighth day anointing. This is Eve. I was wondering more about the eighth day of the fast when we all come together in praise and worship and what that will look like. And I had a vision of Jeriel standing between David and Michael, holding the anointing jug, one hand on the handle and the other supporting the base. I knew he would begin with David and then Michael and then proceed to different ones around the room, in the order of their faith and the conditions of each heart. Then Jeriel spoke to me and said, those who are empty will go away full, and those who are full will go away empty or with little. Those who empty their vessels of fear, doubt, unbelief, double-mindedness, and come truly hungry and thirsty for the gifts of God to serve others and his kingdom will be filled with anointing to the fullest, perfect love for their Father, and our great God casts out fear, and with fear goes doubt, unbelief, and double-mindedness. Praise be to God forevermore. Those who hang on to self-will, pride, and giving up control over their own lives, who insist on continuing to be their own masters, will not receive or will receive little, according to the conditions of their own hearts, which the great God and King knows. For he searches the hearts of men, looking for empty vessels to fill for his purposes and his glory. This requires an obedient servant's heart, a willing vessel crying out, here am I, send me, not my own will, but yours. These can be trusted with so great gifts and anointings. I want to encourage everyone with a dream the Lord gave me back on 8:3-22 before the angels began this free and open dialogue with us. I believe it has a corporate meaning for us all. An angel of his presence appeared in front of me and said, there are five things you need to repent of. Fear, doubt, unbelief, unforgiveness, and double-mindedness. I was surprised and sat there searching my heart and mind. I knew that I was still battling these on a daily basis with the exception of unforgiveness, which I wasn't aware of at all. I had been doing my best to cast down these temptations of the enemy and focus on the promises to me in God's word. And I told the angel that I would need his help to overcome these things because evidently I couldn't tackle these struggles on my own, and I asked him to help me. Then he poured forth from his hands this warm, yellow, golden light that penetrated into my head. It flowed down into my heart. It filled my head and my heart with true, heartfelt repentance. It was painful at first, and it felt like my head and heart would burst with the pressure and pain as I cried with deep, heavy sobs and words of true repentance. But once I got it all out, I felt so free and joyful, so much relief and weight came off of my chest, and I felt light, and I knew that I was truly delivered from these five things that had badgered me since childhood. Praise the Lord for his grace and mercy poured out upon willing hearts. And thank you, Father, that you will put in us your heart and desire to serve our brethren in greater body ministry and to put away all ego and selfish desire. Thank you for filling us all to the fullest measure as each vessel can contain according to your will and purposes for each life in service to you and your kingdom people. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And amen and amen. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right. Has anybody got anything they'd like to add? Yes, Missy?
I'd like to say a prayer for everybody concerning this.
Okay.
Father, I praise you and I thank you for this grace, this opportunity of grace poured out upon every one of us, Lord. Lord, it's only by your grace will we be ready, Lord. It's all you. It's always been you. You said it is finished. You did it all for us. And it's for by grace we have been saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, that no man should boast or glory. And I just praise you and I thank you. And I cast down every spirit of condemnation, discouragement, anything that would try and hinder what you are doing in each and every one of us. I cast down unbelief, doubt. I should have done better. I could have done better. Or I'm not ready. Or, you know, no. It's all by faith. It's all by faith. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord. With your grace and your truth and faith will penetrate each and every heart. And I cast down unbelief upon every single person in the name of Jesus. And I thank you and praise you, Lord, for giving us all bold faith to believe, Lord, that it's you that's doing it in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. It's never too late to start. It's never too late. God, I'll tell you something about God's love. It far exceeds anything that we can even, there's going to be people in heaven that we said, ain't no way they're going to be there. That's going to be there because of his love and our prayers for them. It is so awesome what kind of a God we have. His grace and his mercy is way out there beyond anything we can imagine. It is awesome. Praise be to God. Go ahead, Isaac.
Hey, everybody. Hey, Michael. Sorry I come in late. My apologies. Could y'all tell me what's going on real quick so I can understand. I'm sorry again. Thank you.
Yeah. I could go ahead and repeat. Do y'all care if I repeat this for everybody?
I heard you read it. I just didn't know what it was in regards to. I missed probably like, I don't know how much, but you read, but I was probably listening for a few minutes.
I've been reading for 40 minutes.
I'm sorry, man.
We heard 10 minutes of it.
What?
Okay. Mary, I said, sorry.
Oh, that's okay. That's all right. I'll read it again if y'all want me to. Okay. Pat says yes, so I guess we'll go. We'll do it. Listen, now, I will preface this with saying this. This is from the Lord through his angels. Okay, for this group, UBM, local and outreach. And here's what happens. When I get through, you'll understand what I'm saying now. It makes no difference where you are. You have angels that have been instructed to do the anointing. It's not going to just be here. It's going to be all over. And those that are doing this 8-day fast are going to be rewarded if they do what this thing says. So I'll go ahead and start all over again, which I don't mind. I don't mind at all. All right. Sacrificial fast beginning and anointing on the 8th day. Jeriel said, Jeriel is the angel that's across the hall here. Jeriel said, I am commanded to pour out anointings upon the saints here. And this is why I've appeared to you so often, holding the jug of anointing oil. The Son desires that you all walk in his anointings, gifts, and in his power. My Lord has told me to tell you all, sacrifice your flesh on the altar this coming week. Beginning tomorrow and on the 8th day, you will meet. This will be a meeting of psalms, hymns, and spiritual song of praise and thanksgiving, and a time of blessing the great God, your Father and King. Do not withhold anything of yourselves and your hearts in worship to him, but with abandonment of self, give it all. And I am to be among your praises in worship, pouring out the anointing oil upon your heads. This will bring about a mighty shift in power among you in the spiritual realm. Woo! Glory to God. The sacrifice required for the 7 days and into the 8th include all things fleshly and earthly in nature. Husbands and wives will abstain from all fleshly intimacies. Food and water will be partaken of sparingly. And all devices of man will not be used for entertainment and distractions from your minds. Spend all spare time in prayer, praise, and thanksgiving to your Father and his Son, our great general, and your King, your Master and Savior. Praise God. That means get alone with God all the time. Put your phones down. Put your iPads down. Put your computers down. Forget about everything but where you are with Christ and ask God, what is it you need from him to finish this? Get rid of flesh, and he'll show you. Okay. Now, here's an important thing. Isaac, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, Michael. I didn't know. I thought this was a moment to raise my hand. Do you want to finish?
No, you go ahead. Ask a question if you've got a question, and then I'll finish.
Yeah. Thank you, Michael. Yeah, so I read the email. So yeah, I got the email and read it. I didn't know at first. I guess I got in a little late. But the reason I bring it up, because I got a real confirmation about this last night in a dream. And it was really something special because, you know, I got the email and I said, Lord, well, you know, and bear with me if I had any unbelief, you know, I'll just go ahead and acknowledge that. But I said, Lord, thank you for showing me. And man, I had a dream and it was so evident of, man, there are people, I guess I won't go into the dream, but man, it was just exactly about what you're saying and what we are to do this week. And it had the UBM bodies and we were thanking God for dreams and visions and for seeing these things because we were all the firstborn of the creation. It was just something amazing. So that's all I was bringing up. Man, it's a real confirmation.
Amen. Well, you're not the only one that has sent in and told us that they had confirmations also. So it's very evident that this is what God wants. Okay, now here's, I'm going to read this from Eve. an important thing to understand about the eighth day anointing. I was wondering more about the eighth day of the fast when we all come together in praise and worship and what that will look like. And I had a vision of Jeriel, that's the angel across the hall there, standing between David and Michael, holding the anointing jug, one hand on the handle and the other supporting the base. I knew he would begin with David and then Michael, and then proceed to different ones around the room in the order of their faith and the conditions of each heart. Then Jeriel spoke to me and said, "Those who are empty will go away full, and those who are full will go away empty or with little. Those who empty their vessels of fear, doubt, unbelief, and double-mindedness, and come truly hungry and thirsty for the gifts of God to serve others and his kingdom will be filled with anointing to the fullest. Perfect love for their Father and our great God casts out fear, and with fear goes doubt, unbelief, and double-mindedness. Those who hang on to self-will, pride, and giving up control over their own lives, who insist on continuing to be their own master, will not receive or will receive little according to the conditions of their own hearts, which the great God and King knows. For he searches the hearts of men looking for empty vessels to fill for his purposes and his glory. This requires an obedient servant's heart, a willing vessel crying out, 'Here am I, send me, not my own will, but yours.' These can be trusted with so great gifts and anointings." She says, "I want to encourage everyone with the dream that the Lord gave me back on 8/3/22. Before the angels began this free and open dialogue with us, I believe it has a corporate meaning for us all. An angel of his presence appeared in front of me and said, 'There are five things you need to repent of: fear, doubt, unbelief, unforgiveness, and double-mindedness.' I was surprised and sat there searching my heart and mind. I knew that I was still battling these on a daily basis, with the exception of unforgiveness, which I wasn't aware of at all. I had been doing my best to cast down these temptations of the enemy and focus on the promises to me in God's word. I told the angel that I would need his help to overcome these things because evidently I couldn't tackle these struggles on my own. And I asked him to help me. We can all be there. Then he poured forth from his hand this warm, yellow, golden light that penetrated into my head and flowed down into my heart. It filled my head and my heart with true, heartfelt repentance. It was painful at first, and it felt like my head and heart would burst with the pressure and pain as I cried with deep, heavy sobs and words of true repentance. But once I got it all out, I felt so free and joyful, so much relief and weight came off my chest, and I felt light, and I knew that I was truly delivered from these five things that had badgered me since childhood. Praise the Lord for his grace and mercy poured out upon willing hearts. Thank you, Father, that you will put in us your heart and desire to serve our brethren in greater body ministry and to put away all ego and selfish desire. Thank you for filling us all to the fullest measure as each vessel can contain according to your will and purposes for each life in service to you and your kingdom people in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Praise God forevermore. Woo! Get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Glory to God. Anybody got any questions or comments? Fixing to happen, folks. It's time we got ready. It's time to quit relying on other people to do what you need to be doing yourself. Yeah, Rayon.
Question would be then, how do you empty yourself? Like, what does that mean? How do you get ready, right?
That's a good question. That's what you do when you did what Eve did. To help me, Lord, I can't do it. I don't know how to do it. And the Lord helped her, poured that stuff on her. And then she broke down. That's breaking yourself, breaking self away from you. Getting rid of yourself is breaking self first. Your self pride, your self rebellion, yourself, whatever, you know, whatever is entailed in himself and allowing Christ to come through. Break through that shell that you want to control everything and God wants and allow God to do it. It's all God. It's faith. We walk by faith. We talk by faith. 1 Corinthians 3:18. Look in the mirror and see nothing but Jesus. Yeah, I think it's first or second, one of them. But anyway, bless God. That's, yeah, okay, 2 Corinthians 3:18. And that's what you do. It's all by faith. We believe, Lord, I thank you that Michael's dead. Glory to God that Jesus is alive. I'm looking in that mirror and I see Jesus. I don't care what people say about me. I know what you're doing in me. And I thank you, Father, for humbling me to listen to your Holy Spirit and not myself. And Lord, we ask you that here's what I've done recently. I'm just going to lower myself down recently. And that was to ask God for more discernment, more wisdom, more knowledge, and to do a lot of other things that I'm not going to go into. Amen. Just get rid of self. That's exactly what it is. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, I was thinking, and I put a question in the chat there about Michael. I don't know if it's possible if you could post that, that second message that you read off or email it out or whatever. That would be helpful to me. But as I was glad you read it again, because when you mentioned those five sins specifically to remove from my heart, fear, doubt, unbelief, unforgiveness, and double-mindedness. And I can think of incidents that have happened that include every one of them. And so I'm thinking about Rian's question about, you know, how to start, how to go. And I guess what I'm thinking is that start with, you know, what the Lord shows you immediately. And, you know, if I have to write them down on a paper and confessed those things. I don't know if it's maybe things that I have feared to confess or whatever it would be, but just to start where the Lord starts you, you know, ask God to get the ball rolling. One of the things that has kind of come back to me in the last few days or a week or so, and that is this concept of that the Lord took me through, you know, probably multiple times, but when that he started back when, you know, 30 years ago or whatever. And that is the concept of a clear conscience. And that, if there are little, I hesitate to say it, but little sins that, you know, happen and you just, you know, you might do a superficial, yeah, you know, get out of here or whatever and keep on moving. Or maybe there's a sin that, you know, there's a fear there of addressing something or whatever it would be. That creates naturally guilt within us. Because inside in our heart, we know we're not, excuse me, we know we're not living up to what the Lord is showing us and giving us. And I'm speaking of myself. And there's guilt there. And though we may not recognize it, we may not sense it, it desensitizes our spirit to perceive God as leading the Holy Spirit. And so that guilt, as we confess, as we get real with it, as we address it and confess it, God cleanses that from us, and our awareness, our sensitivity to Him, you know, increases. And I believe that I have drifted. I know over the last year, I've felt more distant from the Lord and almost felt like I have been resorting or relying on things that he has taught me in the past. And I don't think that is bad normally, you know, in and of itself, because, you know, the Lord wants us to open up. He wants to speak. If something, he throws something on our mind, and he wants us to express that and give voice to that. However, I desire more of a less dependency upon what I've learned or what I've experienced into more of a dependency on simply listening to the Holy Spirit and going where He leads me and expressing His life as He leads. And I have to say that I have felt a real lack in that. So that's, I mean, that is why I am excited for these last developments. It's exciting to me because I think I've been I've been waiting for over 30 years, maybe. And I don't want to miss it when it comes around this time. I'm sorry. So I'll let it go at that. I just feel like I want to be there. And I want to be prepared. And so I'm just asking the Lord to lead me wherever I need to be led. And to confess, forsake anything that needs to be done. Asking for a verse yesterday or the day before, I think, when we got this message from Michael, and asked him for a verse for this. And he gave me these verses, which I thought were, I didn't have time to study them or think about them, but I'm going to read them because it hit me. It's in 2 Chronicles 7:6. And that's where my finger landed on that verse. And the priest stood according to their offices, the Levites, also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to give thanks unto the Lord. For his loving kindness endures forever. When David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, all Israel stood. Moreover, Solomon hallowed the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord, for there he offered the burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because of the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offering and the meal offering and the fat. So Solomon held the feast at that time 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great assembly from the entrance of Hamath unto the brook of Egypt. And on the 8th day, they held a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days, the sacrifice of flesh 7 days, and the feast 7 days. And on the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away unto their tents joyful and of a glad heart, for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel, his people. So that was a real confirmation to me that God means business right now, and he's sending the angels to instruct us. So
what was that address again, Pat?
The verses, Second Chronicles 7:6. This is 2 Chronicles 7:14 is the, you know, popular revival, you know, chapters that they use, where God actually came to Solomon and then he explained to Solomon about the place that he was blessing as a house of sacrifice. And I don't think it was meant to be that temple that was built by hands of stone. I think the Lord was talking about, he said in verse 12, the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I've heard thy prayer, and I've chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. And then I think he goes on and explains the description of that place, that of his house of sacrifice. And he says, if I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land or their environment. Now my eyes shall be opened. And I stop right there and I say, when he says heal their land, I believe he's talking about this land here in my heart, starting there and emanating out through everything I'm aware of around me. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place of humble weakness, this place where God has sent his chastening power and examples into our lives and turned our hearts to seek him. And when he does, his eyes are open to this place and his ears are open and attend to the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and hallowed this house that my name may be there forever. And mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And I'm so encouraged about those verses because God is restoring the temple made without hands within his people. And I think that's what he's doing now. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Amen. I'm trying to find this thing for y'all. And let's see if I can do this. No. It's too big. For those of you who ask about the food and water, it's food and water sparingly. So, all right. Anyone else? Thank you, Pat. I do want to say one thing. Don't get under condemnation. Just get under God. Run after the Lord. Forgive everything in the past. You're looking ahead now. Go ahead and tell the Lord you're sorry for whatever it is that you know that's wrong. And run after him with all your heart. And cry out to him for mercy and grace to help you break this thing called self out of you. And it'll happen. It'll happen. And I command condemnation to go out of this outreach right now in Jesus' name. Just like Missy prayed a while ago, I believe it. I believe it. Everybody here can gain ground between now and the next and the eighth day. Everybody. He is so gracious, our God is. So don't get under the condemnation. I don't know if I got enough time. You got enough time if you'll just do it. I'll tell you something. Those who do it are going to be rewarded immensely. Immensely. I'm telling you something. Those of you who have a agenda for yourself, get rid of it. Get rid of it. It ain't worth it. You're going to lose out if you hang on to it. He wants us humble. He wants us just like Jesus. Oh, it's just like Jesus. Listen, we all got things that we have struggled with all our religious Christian life. But he's given us a chance now to get rid of it. And he'll do it. And the anointing will be so great. And your reward's benefits will be so great that you won't even remember what happened. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Ask the Lord to open up your spiritual ears to hear you, the angel. Do that and see if, you know. He doesn't allow everybody to hear it, but I don't know why. If he said you ask, he'll do it, you know. That's what I'm saying. I remember, y'all remember when here some time ago that I asked Eve, how do you listen to God? How do you hear God? You know what she told me? Feel yourself. Steal your mind, steal your body, and just listen for that still, small voice that you've never heard. And that's God. And he's talking to you. That's all you do. And have a pad and a pencil ready because he's going to tell you stuff. The only agenda that we need is to serve God and man. That's the only agenda Jesus had to come here. He didn't come here to be some great mighty king. He came here to serve mankind. And that's our job, is to serve mankind. I'm learning. Praise God, I'm learning. All right, anybody else got anything they'd like to add or ask a question? Somebody asked us, how many angels you got in there? I said, well, we only know of six. That's all we know of right now. And I know most of their names. I know all but two of them. And you can ask God the same thing, and he'll give you that name too. They don't call themselves guardian angels. They call themselves the protectors. They're protectors. And then we have ministry angels here too. That's the two outside and the one downstairs. They all have different functions. And it's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. Anybody got any questions? Yes, Pat.
Can everybody there see them?
No. I hadn't seen them. I felt them. Actually, I think there's only been two people that saw them. two for confirmation, I guess. I don't know. Anyway. Yep. Greg, go ahead.
Got to have the microphone on, don't you? Yeah, look, sorry. The eighth day, which for those who started at the time would be Friday for you guys. Am I correct on that?
Yes.
Are you guys over there doing anything on that day as far as a gathering?
What you talking about, boy? Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay.
Yeah, he said he told us to come into fellowship, didn't he? I believe that's right.
Yep.
Yeah. We'll all be together.
Okay, good. And for those of us who came in late, so to speak, because I'm on day two now because I heard about it Sunday. So it's Wednesday. So Monday, Tuesday. Hang on a sec. No, it started yesterday. So this is day two now. Yeah, that's right. Okay, I was just curious as whether Thursday night would be a different agenda to what we normally have, or next week?
Oh, no, it's going to be the same. It's going to be the same. I'm liable to have a big grin on my face, but other than that, it's the same.
Over.
I tell you, I don't know about y'all, but I'm excited. I'm excited because, folks, this is just the start. This is just the start. There is a, I forget how the, a recharge of DNA coming up. That's what they call it. You know what that means? I'm going to be young again. No, it means that all people that are in the bride will be healed, delivered, and set free. Praise God. And this anointing coming up Friday here, some will have the anointing for immediate healing. All the gifts of this that are needed for the ministry of the gospel are going to be poured out on the eighth day, whatever day that is for y'all and for us. And like I said before, don't worry about these angels. You got your own angels around you that have been anointed and told to do this for y'all as well. This is for UBM and doesn't designate fellowship. It doesn't designate outreach. It's UBM. It's for people all over the world that are utilizing UBM teaching material. Don't miss tomorrow's message from David. He's going to give you part one or two. I forget. But it's going to be an awesome revelation of us speaking with these angels. It's going to be awesome. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Isaac.
Yeah, just going back to that dream I had. You know, I mean, you know, Michael, I just asked the Lord to show me. I mean, he really did. And it was so, it's as if I just asked him and he told me. And, you know, I'll write the dream up and send it to you. But,
yeah,
man,
please.
Yeah, I will. And I seen in the dream, there was David, there was Eve. You know, I even seen Missy there and she did something awesome. It was so cool. And you know, the thing is, I knew in the dream that we were going to see more and we were going to see these, even our own angels. I just knew we were going to, our eyes were going to be opened. I knew it in the dream. And I remember thinking back, cause that was my whole question in the first place. And I remember the Lord is almost like he said, it's almost like, how to make sense. He just was telling me, but I could feel it in my spirit. The reason why is because we're the firstborn of his creation, because the firstborn of his creation is Jesus, right? And we're the seed of Jesus, but it's Jesus in us. And it was just so cool. And there was more detail, but I just don't want to, I'll send it to them, but it was a real answered prayer, man. Like I woke up and said, that's it. That's it. This is the real deal right now. And so, yeah.
Amen. Pat, I would like for you to put the circumstances around this verse you got here, Second Chronicles, and send it to us. Would you do that? Because that's part of it. Can you hear me, Pat?
I can hear you. Can you elaborate on that if you could?
Give us the date. The verse is 2 Chronicles 7 and 6 and the circumstances behind it. That would be awesome.
Okay. All right. I'll write it up and flip you an email.
Okay. You'll probably utilize it in one of the programs part 15 or whatever, whichever one it is. This is awesome. What's he doing, Missy? You want to share a little bit?
I think Greg made that comment, and my response to him was because of what Isaac said, something about that I did something awesome or whatever in his dream. And I'm like, he's dangling a carrot. It's like, oh.
You mean Isaac?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Amen. Well, he's doing awesome things in all of us that are getting ready, you know, getting ready. He's doing some awesome things. I'm just, I'm amazed at how much these angels will tell us. They are just a unlimited supply of information. We can't think up questions fast enough. But praise God, it tells me one thing. We're fixing to get into this thing pretty heavy. I will tell you this, all of those on other continents and other countries, for the most part, most of you will be used mightily in that area you are in. That's what the angel said. So get ready. All right. Does anybody want to ask a question or comment anything about what we're talking about now? About how do we do this? Well, you pray and ask God and believe. It's all by faith. Go ahead, Missy.
A thought came to me. I'm just a nobody. Okay?
Praise God.
We're all nobodies. Which makes this song. Can I sing this song?
Sure. Go ahead.
Because I pray that it will encourage everybody. I love it. I gotta think how it starts now because I got the chorus going through my head. Why you ever chose me has always been a mystery. All my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line with all the other not quite, with all the never get it right. But it turns out they're the ones you were looking for all this time. 'Cause I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. It's been a while since I sang this. Oh, gosh. I'm living for the world to see nobody but Jesus. Moses had stage fright, but David took a rock. Oh, gosh, it's been a while. Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight. You pick 12 outsiders, nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story is everybody's got a purpose. So when I hear that devil start talking to me, saying, who do you think you are? I say, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Oh, I lost it again. I'm just a new, oh gosh, I can't.
That's all right.
Let me go to the next part. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. Let me go down, down, down in history as another blood-bought, faithful member of the family. And if they all forget my name, well, that's fine with me. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. So let me go down, down, down in history as another blood-bought, faithful member of the family. And if they all forget my name, well, that's fine with me. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
I just
want to hallelujah.
You know, because it's, we all are nobodies, and Jesus is everything and all we need, and he's everything in us.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Lord.
All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Renita.
I was just going to share, I just got the text today. I don't know, my internet wasn't working very well over the weekend, so I just got it today about the fasting, but it was kind of exciting because last Sunday, not this past Sunday, but the Sunday before that, I just felt led to start fasting on my own, more of an electronic fast, and only just, and I was getting on Telegram here and there, you know, just seeing what's going on in the world, but I just put all that aside. And Missy's test, her sister's testimony was really encouraging also. So thanks for sharing that. But just on my own, I had started that fast the Sunday before. And when I got that text, I'm like, oh, I missed a couple of days, but that's all right. I already started before that, so I'm good. So, I just started the rest of it with everybody. So I'm just so excited about it. And praise the Lord. He's just doing an awesome
Amen.
Thing. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right, Theo. Go ahead, brother.
I want to share in that, Vanita. Same thing with us. We, a few days ago, had a nice discussion, and the Lord just put it on our hearts to cut out all the distractions. And David's teachings came up, and we listened to them about the two recent ones on distractions. And we started early, and we praise the Lord for that. And we just want to keep going and go further. And just in us, we were glad to hear that UBM was starting this as well, because, you know, the Lord told us on our own. And that's something that always concerned me, is I could always, you know, follow somebody else's fast as well. But when the Lord tells you, like, ahead of time, it changes everything. And I just praise the Lord, and I can't wait for what's in store. Praise the Lord.
Amen. It's going to be awesome for you. It's going to be awesome. All right. Anyone else got a question or comment? You know what a distraction is? Anybody tell me what a distraction is? I'll tell you one that I've noticed lately. I keep hearing these dings, dings, ding, ding, dings on Signal. That outreach chat is a distraction. We need to be seeking the Lord during that time. Amen. All right. Now, I didn't mean to dampen anybody's Signal thing, but it is a distraction. All right. Anybody else? what was the subject tonight? Oh, yeah. Somebody, I don't remember who it was, wanted to know how to present UBM to another person. That was what I believe it was. Let me see right quick. Well, what did I do with it? Oh, here it is. No, not it either. Anyway, that's pretty much it. Is how do you present UBM material to someone where they will receive it? Somebody give me their experiences that they've done it with, how they've done it, they've received it. Yeah, Andrew.
With my son, it was really easy because he came here and everything. I just said, you can go on YouTube and look at some of the stuff that's there on UBM. And he does listen to those things. And when he comes over on some of the Thursdays, he discusses it with some of the sites and some of the things that he's looking at there. And of course, I still believe the Lord's going to use that for more people too. And of course, if they go there, they might go to the site after too. So, praise God.
Amen. Yeah, if you got someone willing to listen, that's a good way to do it. I remember the first time, this is the wrong way to do it. This is, don't do it this way. I remember the first time that I was introducing Hidden Manna, the biggest book in the whole world, to my best friend, Buddy, and his wife. And I sat down with him and I opened it. I had it all laid out, you know, three great big old three ring binders. And I showed him, I went through each verse of chapter 3 and showed him about the tribulation, when it was going to happen, or the rapture was going to happen. And I just loaded him all. You could have this book. You know, this is a great book, man. You can have this book. Well, it overwhelmed him. It overwhelmed them. They brought it back and said, we ain't going to mess with that. We don't believe that. So I said, what in the world did I do wrong? Then I got to thinking, well, what if they'd have dumped that on me? I'd have probably said the same thing. But I don't know. Has anybody got a better way? What I generally do myself is I generally... Sovereign God, to me, is probably the number one book to utilize. We also, let me tell you this, we also have pamphlets to give out on the web too, on the site, that are good for introducing UBM to people. Very good. Got the Real Good News. I forget all of them now. Julie might remember. I don't remember all of them, but there's a number of them on here. And they're good for handing out to introduce people to UBM. And those that have ears to hear will go. But to introduce Sovereign God to people, I'll just go through the first chapter. Let me just read this to you and see if you understand it. And I want to show you that this book is mostly scriptures. If you'll just look in this book, there's over 2,500 scriptures in this book. And that's how David teaches. He teaches with scriptures. And if you get that, do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Yeah, I do. Well, let me ask you this. If you find something in the Bible that goes against your theology, are you going to go with the Bible or are you going to go with your theology? And he said, well, of course we're going to go with the Bible. Oh, okay. Well, great then. That's a great start. Let me just show you chapter 1 of Sovereign God. And then I take them through that. And a lot of time, they'll want the book after you explain a couple of things to them. That's the way I do it. Have done it. Anybody else have a different way that they utilize to get the word out? You want me to pick somebody? Oh, he's scared. look at him leaving. Yeah, I see him leaving. I see. Go ahead, Lana.
Hi, everybody.
Hey.
I just kind of wanted to share. So in the past, I've kind of felt pressured about having to do these kind of things, you know, share about God and Christ. And we don't have to do anything outside of the leading of the Holy Spirit. I think that's where we have to begin, is if you don't feel led, you don't feel a peace and a freedom to speak, you're not required to do anything. But I find that, especially since I'm also a woman, so it's not my place to teach, though somebody at the state fair a few days ago tried to convince me otherwise. I feel like just sharing a personal testimony of faith is the best place to begin, because people then get curious, especially like I had an experience with a lady named Victoria a couple of months ago, and she was just disillusioned and new to religion, really, or she was familiar with religion, but she was new to faith. And I could feel in my spirit that my openness and my freedom and the delight I felt in speaking of the Lord and what he had done for me, and that no, man's ways, man's laws, man's structure of church does not save us, was really hitting home with her. And I was simply speaking from my experience. I wasn't teaching. I didn't have a lot of scripture on my mind, though I could point out little bits and pieces that applied to what I was sharing with her. And I think personal testimony, being open and honest with somebody who's listening, speaks a lot. And then they start to ask questions. Well, who do you fellowship with? Because they want to know, where do you get this? And even when we do share UBM, the site, or if we have an opportunity to share a book, we have to be able to trust that God will finish this work. We don't have to sit around and expect immediate results. I haven't seen this Victoria lady in, I think, since the 4th of July when she came, stopped by for a visit, and I'm not worried. I tried to reach out a few times, and I'm just seeing that she's too distracted. She's not in a place right now to continue the conversation that I had started with her, and I've learned to be at peace with that. I've learned that when the time is right, the Lord will bring her to my home where my husband can take lead in sharing what we know of scriptures, what we know of faith, and how we fellowship with UBM. So going back to what I said earlier, we first and foremost have to be led of the Spirit. And secondly, not to worry about immediate results or how to do this or not. Just leave it in the Lord. If the conversation is short, it's short. If you have an opportunity to share more, let it be of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? That's good, Lana. But I want to refer you back to the old man down in Australia that handed out little leaflets every day. He wanted to share the gospel with at least 10 people a day. Y'all remember that, me telling that here a week or so ago? Well, basically, this little white-haired gentleman shared the gospel with a leaflet every day, handed it out, and he'd ask him, he said, are you a Christian? And do you want to be? And, you know, he went through the whole spiel, just a few minutes. And this guy came around and got one of those things, one of the things he was handing out, and he asked him, I forget how he exactly did it, but anyway, he asked him if he was a Christian and if he wanted to be a Christian and da-da-da-da-da. And it made people think. And this guy got back on his plane. He thought about it all the way home. And he came to Christ because of it. But he found he was talking to some other gentleman. He was a, I don't know, I don't remember what he was. But he ran across other people that had run across this little white-haired man down there in Australia. These were people in the Christian world that were way up high in the Christian world that had gotten saved by this man. And he went back down there after a few years and found that little white, that little old man. And he told him about all of the people that he had met in the Christian world that he had changed their lives because of what he had said to them and the little handout he had given them. And about a week later, he died. But he got to know that what he was doing was having an effect in the kingdom. Praise God. So there are different ways. There are different ways, different avenues. And we're in a different world right now than it was back then. All right, Daniel, I know you had your hand up. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, how you going, Michael? I just thought I'd just give a bit of a testimony. I had to face court here on Monday, just gone from old driving charges when I was in the world and just coming to the Lord and that and things. But yeah, it was sort of a, when I was in the world, I was before the courts over here fairly often and that, and it's, I've got to give a testimony there on Monday of the Lord and what he'd done for me before the magistrate. So, yeah, I just thought that was a new one for me. I went in and the magistrate asked me, you know, whether I'd like to speak on and say anything for myself and that, and I've been praying all morning and speaking to the Lord and that, and yeah, I just went in there and I wasn't nervous or nothing. Like generally I used to always be nervous in the world. Like I could hardly even speak, you know, like before the judges and that. And yeah, this time when I went in, I just said, yes, Your Honor, I'd like to have something to say. I said, Your Honor, what my record shows isn't who I am now. I said, that person's gone. I said, I've been born again by the Spirit of the living God, Jesus Christ. And I said, I'm no longer that person. I said, I no longer drink alcohol anymore. I've been set free, born again, set free, no longer alcohol and smoking and things like that. And, yeah, like just give a real great testimony. They wanted me to wear a mask, but I wasn't going to wear a mask, especially when, and as soon as I started talking about the Lord, she's like, so I had it on my chin. I didn't have it over my mouth. And she's like, you can take your mask right, the mask right off if you like. Because I was like, yeah, thank you. And, yeah, kept speaking. And, no, it was brilliant. It was really good just to be able to give a testimony, like say, anywhere. There's anywhere. There's nowhere now I can't go that I can't give a testimony of the Lord about. Like, it's awesome what he's done for me. And yeah, I just thought of something different.
Glory to God. Yes. Thank you, Father, for giving us boldness in front of the court. Thank you, Jesus. That is awesome. All right. I don't know if I can top that. That's great. That's awesome, Daniel. All right. There was another subject that Dave brought up. Dave, you want to see if you can't explain what you want to talk about?
Oh, email I sent you?
Yeah. Humble, I believe.
Yeah, Humble. Let me find it. That might take a little bit. We might want to look into that one before we just dive into it, but we can. Yeah. Okay. Here we go. Oh, I said, how should we humble ourselves? It says, maybe what some of us are experiencing right now is God's humbling. Needing to be humbled or humble to have power over the curse, over Satan by faith. And that's because I had listened to a teaching on humility. I found it to be really good. And it's on a the 1 hour radio and TV programs is on humility. And it's I think it's a 4-part series. And I found David did a really good job on that, on humility. And it's not like it's going to bring you down low. Like it's more about being meek, finding out how to walk with the Lord in his meekness. If you feel like you're having trouble overcoming something, or you feel like you're not getting deliverance like you should, and it could be there might be an area in your life that the Lord wants to deal with you first, and that's where you got to get real with the Lord, and you're kind of humbling yourself before the Lord. You're putting on that essentially a sackcloth and ashes, and you're kind of waiting for the Lord to get with you and talk about things. I mean, one of the things you might find it surprising. So one of the things I had to get real with was, and I think a lot of us do, is pride. We get that pride going, and that gets in the way, that old man, that old flesh. And you think you're doing okay until you get pressed in the wrong place after you've been kind of humbled and humbled and humbled, and all of a sudden, finally something comes up, and you're thinking, oh, wait a minute, I've had enough of that. That's not right. Or some kind of injustice happens, and you stand up and you rear up and you think, that's not right. And you start, but part of humility is not being treated fairly in this world. Matter of fact, going through injustices. And for God, and what Jesus said, Paul said, he said, count that all joy when you go through these trials, when you're not treated the way you think you should be, because that's the Lord humbling your flesh, believe it or not. You got to find out the Lord's in charge of putting us on our cross. And how he does that isn't a pleasant experience, but that's how you overcome. And that's how he hates the old man, and he's not going to have any success conquering the old man if you're not cooperating with him in the process. And part of that is going to be humbling to whatever he brings in your life in order for you to have that old man die. So I thought humility would be a good subject, understanding it, understand how the Lord uses it in our life and comes against us, our old man, so that we can die to self, so that we're no longer being hindered by the old man, and realizing that it's God doing this for us and through us. I mean, there's a lot of things that happened in Paul's life that were very distracting and hard on his flesh, but he knew that if he just trusted the Lord, all things worked good for those that love Jesus. And God always pulled him through things, but a lot of the things that Christians do go through, it's hard on your flesh. And understanding that's God's way of crucifying your flesh. And so I thought maybe we can understand a little more about humility, how to cooperate with God in the process. That's kind of what I was thinking. Anyways, Dave has a good teaching on a 4-part series. Again, it's in a 1-hour radio and TV programs section, and it's on humility.
Amen. That is a good one. I just listened to that a couple of weeks ago. That is a good one. Anybody else? I've been reading The Practice of the Presence of God. It's the first time I've ever read it. Has anybody else ever read this? I probably asked this someone. Boy, how many of you got affected by it? Not infected, but affected. Amen. I want to read a little something to you. Won't take long. Brother Lawrence said that in order to form a habit of conversing with God continually and referring all we do to him, we must at first apply to him with some diligence. with some diligence. Then after a little care, after some time doing this, we would find his love inwardly excite us to it without any difficulty. He expected after the pleasant days God had given him, he would have his turn of pain and suffering. Yet he was not uneasy about it, knowing that since he could do nothing of himself, God would not fail to give him the strength to hear them, or bear them, I'm sorry. Here's something real important. When an occasion of practicing some virtue was offered, he addressed himself to God, saying, "Lord, I can't do this unless you enable me." And then he received strength more than sufficient. When he had failed in his duty, he only confessed his fault, saying to God, "I shall never do otherwise if you leave me to myself. It's you who must hinder my falling and mend what is amiss." Here's the kicker. Then after this, he gave himself no further uneasiness about it. That's where we fail a lot of times, because we sit in condemnation all the time, thinking, "Oh, I just failed." When Lord said, "After you give it to God, leave it alone. It's his now. It's his. It's his. Leave it alone and run out there and start doing what God wants you to do." Brother Lawrence said, "We ought to act with God in the greatest simplicity, speaking to him frankly and plainly and imploring his assistance in our affairs just as they happen. And God never failed to grant it," as Brother Lawrence had often experienced. Amen. I thought that was just awesome. How many times we just dwell on that failing that we did? Oh, my goodness, I failed again. Glory to God. It just came up to me. You know, when in fact we just give it to God and let it alone. Forget about it. Go on. We keep straight ahead. Forget about today, yesterday. Keep going ahead. Looking in that mirror and seeing Jesus. That's what we do. Hey, David, Lena, how y'all? Good to see you, brother, or trying to see you.
We've been doing good. God's been
awesome. Is that a car in your living room? Oh, no, no, that's your chairs. Okay. I'm sorry. That's great to see you, Gis.
It's good to finally be. It's been a trial, but ever since Sunday, we got that email. We started a fast, and then as soon as you start a fast, the enemy's right there, just like, "Hey, I'm right here. Guess what? Time to tempt you." And he's like, and daily he's been trying to tell me, like, "Hey, watch, you're gonna end this fast. You're going to be back in your distractions and on your phone, and you'll be back to it. Just wait. No, like, no, I'm not. And praise God, like, since Sunday, I have yet to open YouTube. The only thing I opened on my phone was either texting someone or Podbean when I would listen to a teaching. That's about it. But YouTube has not been open on my phone since Sunday. And it was just awesome. And I have no desire to even open it, because I know that if I open it, distractions are going to be there. They always are. And it was a great journey. Praise God for that.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Yeah, that's a good idea, Julie. I just shut them down myself. Yeah. I had to remove one today. Kept bugging me. All right, anybody else? Anybody would pray. Or prayer. Yeah, Pat.
So what is the Lord doing in everybody else's life? I just toss it out there as far as a question. I see, Ray and June, or you guys came in a little bit late, didn't you? But I'm curious to see. I know that there's stirrings happening within me. By the way, I just wanted to mention why I got the mic, I guess. I asked for prayer a couple weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, that because the job I'm on, we're moving into massive hectic pressure type of thing, and I'm in the midst of that right now. Plus I got stuff happening out my backyard, a garage being built, so it's a whole nother distraction. But when this came up, I asked the Lord, I am employed. I'm, in a job. When I go into work, it's like, let me say this. The work is an agenda all of its own. It's just you are sucked into the vortex there. And I don't get a chance to really stop and think. But I asked the Lord, it's just so hectic, one pressure after the next, one question, one problem that you're going to have to deal with. You got to overcome this, got to solve this, got to do this, got to correct this, and we're still behind on schedule, and blah, 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 blah. He just keeps on going. And so I asked the Lord, here we are in the midst of this that you've just given us, and, remove ourselves from distraction, yet I am in constant distraction, from top to bottom. So I just asked the Lord to control it. I gave these activities and all these things to the Lord in prayer. And I know that He knows where I'm at. He knows that I can't just, call in and say, look, you guys are going to have to take care of this. I'm bowing out for a week or whatever. Because there's, pressures and responsibilities there that are whatever. However, the Lord knows that this isn't something that I created here all of a sudden. So I'm trusting that the Lord is going to take me in my environment and allow me to remove the distractions. I agree with everybody else that's been saying, shutting off YouTube and shutting off the dings on their phones and everything like that. And Telegram just, this probably 400 messages or, alerts or whatever on there now. But when you get plugged into that stuff, when you click on it, you're gone. Now you're on somebody else's agenda. And the world is crying out right now. I mean, it's not like it's not a good agenda. There's massive problems heading our way. And once you plug in, you want to get involved. You want to, you'd like to get on that phone and call somebody or whatever. But I know that the Lord showed me this a long time ago, that He's got an agenda for me. He has, I thought I was going to go in one direction, say in employment. And he basically told me, to move to something else. I have another agenda for you. You're moving in this direction, totally out of my trained profession, shall I say, and threw me into what I'm into now. And quite frankly, I mentioned that about, you know, been waiting for this thing for 30 years or probably closer to 40 years. And, because I felt like, you know, I gave my life to God for a specific, I wanted to be with him. I wanted to take his path. And it seems as though he led me down a path that wasn't connected with Christian. I won't say it wasn't connected with Christianity, but the things that he taught me, I didn't learn in church. You know, I mean, some of those things I did, learned what not to do. So, and I didn't feel like I had missed the boat, but I felt like, you know, I got maybe set to the side and set on the shelf or whatever it would be. But I'm seeing that really the Lord has chosen to take me down a certain path and has taught me the things that he's shown me that could only be learned through that sort of situation, through that path. So I believe that God is going to, he's going to bless us where we are at. He's going to, if our heart is for him and open and looking to him and putting away everything that he shows us, he's going to bless us for his good work to do his thing. So I think the distractions, I've had to just give them over to him and trust him that he can lead me through the process and he can lead my heart, even in the midst of, you know, what I'm going through and my employment and whatever else. So I guess I'll stop there. Anyway, I don't know if that was a prayer request or or a testimony or what, but praise the Lord. He's able to do it.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Who was first here? I think Deborah was. Go ahead, Debbie.
Okay. Thank you. God's been doing a real work of surrender in me. Albert has no brain activity, hasn't had for 3 days, but I'm not looking at that. I've been looking at what God can do, and I look and see him healed. And one thing I'm so joyful about is that I know he's the Lord's right now. I know that God has taken him places and has been speaking to him. And my other family members feel the same thing. They've all been praying for this. And I just have such a peace. At the same time, I'm not letting go of, I've surrendered him to the Lord, Lord, because you are God and you do take people home. And, but I, what I want was him to be saved. I know he is now. And he may have been before. Kim said that, not that listening to Christian music saves and shows you're saved, but he did express to my daughter that he'd been listening to all the Christian songs and stuff, which is really not like him, on his way to work and everything before he went to the hospital. So I think God had been working on him for a while through the couple of months. He was experiencing not good things before he went into the hospital. And we've been praying and I've been confessing and telling my daughter and granddaughter, and we got to keep believing because God, we know God is a miraculous God and he can do this. He may have a real miracle here for us. And I'm believing for that. At the same time, I think God's also let me know to just trust him. Just trust him. And I've been being letting God just do work in me through the surrender of my life to him more fully. And, being thirsty and hungry and all these things we want to give up of our flesh. We want to give it up, and I want to give it up, and I want God to just invade. But that's where we're at right now, and I just want everyone to believe with me still for a miracle for Albert, because I'm going to believe that until, just going to believe that. And I wanted to share too that I was looking at him yesterday, and the Lord just gave me such a peace fell over him or above him. It's really hard to explain. It was in the spirit. It's like I could see peace, a heavenly peace just all over Albert. And it just went into me. I had such a peace. God was there. He was just there with Albert. I just knew it. And this peace that was all over that I could see in the spirit. If you can see peace in the spirit, I saw it. So it was just a kind of amazing. And so I just feel just really blessed to be able to keep trusting the Lord, keep looking to him and letting him be God and still knowing what he can do. And so I've just been dealing with this and surrendering my child to the Lord and surrendering him to take him and use him for his glory on this earth. So, you know, it's kind of keep believing and praying for all these things to change. Then something else comes in, another thing. And I'm just really, I'm not battling. I'm just continually praying and continually giving each one over to God. Lord, what are you going to do with this? You are God, and I just know you did work with him. You've been working with him and speaking to him and showing him things, and you've got him. So if anything, where I want to be is with the Lord. So I just appreciate prayers, though. Continue prayers and faith standing with me to believe, keep believing for a miracle still for Albert, because I'm just trying to really stand and keep believing for that. Amen. So.
Amen. David, we're all believing with you. Lord, we thank you for the work you're doing in Albert right now. We know that it's going to be a miracle, and we praise you, Father, for it. Jesus, mighty name. Thank you, Lord. All right, Rion or Claire. Where'd you go? Rion or Claire? Uh-oh. She must have got knocked off. Okay. Go ahead, Ray and June. We'll get her when she comes back, maybe. I think it was Claire.
Is that we're good? I totally agree with everything you said, Pat. For me, it's a different story as far as distraction. I am feeling so empty, so hungry. I know I shouldn't maybe declare it, but I won't finish on that note, that I'm not able to stay focused for very long. I've been, Barbara was sharing the Psalms, which I was reading, and I've done a few other things relating to the word, but I find myself needing to nap. In fact, Ray and I went to bed early. That's why we weren't here to start out at 8 o'clock. But what I'm counting on, frankly, is either tomorrow or the day after that I won't have this appetite. And I will be able to just be where I'm supposed to be with the Lord. But as you said, Pat, I truly believe each one of our circumstances could be different, but it's a matter of where our heart is and we're doing the best we're able to do under the circumstances. Amen.
I said to June earlier, I said, if I wasn't retired now, I don't know how I'd do this. Working and being on a water diet is something I have never really stuck with before until now. And our bodies are going through quite a bit right now. And as June said, we're hoping that we'll be at another level very shortly through this process. But there was something else that was also coming to mind about how the Lord's worked in our lives. And it's been not just ourselves, but mostly our children, because we always are concerned there. And without going into a lot of background and detail, all of our children have gone through things, some serious matters. And the Lord has really answered our prayers over the years. Mm-hmm. And we just continue to be steadfast in prayer for those that are family members, friends, and all people that we know that are in health conditions. The Lord just continues to do miraculous work in our lives, and we're so thankful for that. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Yeah, the Lord is doing a good work. If we just keep our faith for our children, they're coming in, all of them. All right, Lana.
Hey again. I just wanted to share what the Lord's been doing in my life recently. As my beloved had shared earlier, that the Lord was already putting it on our minds and hearts to start cleaning up the junk in our home. These little things that we found ourselves wanting to get rid of in our home. And we also knew that this was parallel in the spirit, that the Lord was not only doing this, putting these desires in our heart regarding the physical things we were finding in our home, in our diets, but also that there was these things that needed our attention in the spiritual. But if about, I'd say 2 weeks ago, going on 3 weeks ago, the Lord really weighed on my heart that I need to let go of certain things that I was committing myself to in regards to the translation work I was doing outside of UBM. And so he finally gave me the grace to he gave me a moment that really drew the last straw for me. I was not only helping translate, but I was also getting involved with refugee work for the Ukrainians here, paperwork, phone calls, emails, text messages. It was nonstop. And it didn't seem like a big deal because I tend to have I struggle to say no to people when people need help. And so the Lord just put it on my heart to, it's all or nothing. And so I, on one Friday afternoon during a sister's prayer meeting or shortly before a sister's prayer meeting, I sent an email with a resignation to the agency that I had been doing translation work for. I contacted my friend whom I had been translating as well for, and I said, no more. I'm sorry. I can't do this anymore. And I dropped various other projects. I could not believe the burden I had been carrying up until that point. I had no idea how big that burden was. It was to the point where I woke up in the morning and I had to remind myself that there was going to be no emails, no text messages, no phone calls, no translation documents waiting for me. I had no idea how deeply this was ingrained into my subconscious every morning, that it amazed me that I was waking up and I was thinking about the fact that none of that was there anymore. And then I'd come home in the evenings and I'd be like, okay, what do I have to do before I go to bed? And usually there's a long list. And it just put the biggest smile of relief on my face when I realized that my boys were in their pajamas and they were in bed. My home was tidied up as I usually like it. And there was absolutely nothing waiting for me except rest. In every sense, in my room, like it, there should be no phone calls, no emails, no text messages, no nothing. Praise the Lord. I had no idea how big of a burden I had been carrying all this time. and the chaos it was creating in my home. And I was trying to manage it, and I was trying to find control and peace. And the Lord delivered me of it all. And then comes this. He's been doing a wonderful, wonderful work of salvation in every way. And I am so grateful and thankful for it. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for freeing her up. Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Geneva, go ahead.
Hey, I just want to say a prayer for Debbie real quick. It's okay.
Okay.
Dear Jesus, Lord, I ask that you be with Debbie right now, Father, and I thank you, God, for giving her the strength, or Lord, for blessing her with your strength, Father, and God, helping her to walk through this trial, God, with complete surrender and grace to be obedient to you, Father. And Lord, I just ask, Father, that you comfort her in a way, Jesus, that only the Holy Spirit can do, Father. And Lord, I ask, God, that she gets such sweet sleep at night, and that, Father, she is able to just meditate on you and be at complete peace, Father, about her son, Lord. And ask, Father, that whatever's going on with Albert, Jesus, Father, you are there. Lord, we may not be able to see on the physical out, Lord, what's going on, but Jesus, I know that you are in the midst, Jesus, and that you're doing something. And Father, I ask, Lord, that God, you just keep your angels around him, Lord, and like we're all believing that a miracle is going to come from this, Father. And Lord, help her just to continue to cling on to that promise with all that she has, Father. And Lord, to just be able to sleep through the storm like you did. I just thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, that this is all for your glory. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Is there anyone on this fellowship that did not get a copy of the fast instructions? Did you look in your email? I can't hear you. I'm almost certain I gave Ray, you and June one. Okay. All right. Well, it has the instructions of the fast in it, if anyone. Daniel, let's see. Where are you? Where'd you go? Did he leave? Oh, there he is. send me an email and I'll send it to you. But anyway, anybody else? It doesn't make any difference when you start as soon as possible. It's just a... Okay. Just know that the angels will take care of you. All right, I got it, buddy. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to pray about before we close out for the night? Y'all need to get excited. I'm telling you, you need to get excited. Glory to God. It's an awesome time we're living in. Awesome time. Praise God. Lord, I just praise you and I glorify you. I praise you, Father, for being our God. You're a loving, merciful God. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for all the things that you're doing with us, in us, and through us. In the name of Jesus, Lord. We can't praise you enough, Lord, for the things that you've done in our lives and the things you're fixing to do in our lives as well. Father, we thank you for moving people where you want them, teaching people the things that you need for them to know, giving them the gifts that they need in order to get this gospel out. And Lord, we just thank you so much for your angels that tell us these things. We praise you, Father, for everything that you've done in us and through us. Amen and amen. Well, God bless y'all. And we'll see y'all again. What is this? Is this Tuesday? This is Tuesday. Yeah, see y'all Thursday night. God bless you.